First of all, hello to everybody out there on the internet watching the service. God bless you too. We care about you just as much. But so much has happened. We have a new member of our church. Hey, Jason, tell your mama we said hi. That's a blessing in itself to have a new member in the church. And it's a blessing when a baby is born into a house of God, to a family of God that cares, a family with a rich legacy as the Brooks have. That's just going to be one blessed baby. You know, things in life have changed so much, you know, over the past months that we just watched television and stuff, and how our country has become so divided. People can't get along, they can't understand each other. We argue about things like our health, about our environment, who we are as a country, who we are as just people every day. So that's the thing that we're going to talk about today, is the worldview versus the Christian view. I'm going to read a scripture from Psalms 1, and it's not going to come from there, but it's going to give you a pretext, kind of a view of what God thinks and where we're going. Start with Psalms 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, or seat in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on the law day and night. The person is like a tree planted in streams of water, which fill in fruit in seasons, and whose leaves does not wither, whether they do prosper. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Amen. We are blessing to the hearing and the reading of the word. You know, and like I was just saying, many of the problems we have are due to a country that does not know Christ. There was a time when America was a country, a Christian country, but now it's become a place where Christians live. You know, and in the midst of all that, we just try to understand things. We try to cope with things. And because of the worldview and there's a Christian view, and the two are opposed of each other, you know. With the worldview, the world says it's our culture. It's the way we do things. It's all built on the way we think, our thoughts. Everything is all about us. It's all about get what you can. Go for what you can do. Don't worry about the other man. But a Christian view is built on that rock, that firm foundation. It's a matter of God is telling us, this is how I want you to see things. I want you to see things the way I do. I want you to be an individual, but be a part of the group. You know, it's kind of like we were talking about Zoom the other day. You know, it's good that we're blessed that we're able to have services and stuff, but Zoom doesn't have a soul. You know, watching church on Zoom or on Facebook or one of those different platforms, you get the feeling, you say, yes, Lord, you can praise Lord, but there's something about being in the presence of saints. There's something about just being here. You watch it and you feel good, but once you've been in church, there's a different feeling in your spirit. You go home and you go home and you feel a whole lot better. And it's being in church. When we all have our problems, we come here and God takes them away. He can make a hopeless situation disappear. You know, he can give you that direction from here to go back out into the world. Because we come to church, the whole thing of coming to church is to be able to tell what God has done for you, where he has taken you from. Because Jesus told his disciples at one time when he sent them out, he said, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. You know, he told them how they were to go out and conduct themselves. And that's the way we are now. We're sheep amongst the wolves of this world. And the wolves have the worldview, and we base everything off the Christian view. You know, understanding this helps us deal with people's behavior. Because so many times when people cross us or do us wrong, first thing we want to do is tell them what's going on in our own special little way. But God says no. He says, be at peace. Sure, there's times where you have to show some righteous indignation, but for the most part, he gives us a approach to listen carefully to what they're saying, correct them if we can. If not, just like when he sent his people out into the world, wipe your hands of it, wipe your feet of it, and keep it moving. There's also a scripture, I think it's Matthew 10 and 16, where God says, you know, when he sent them out, he says, you know, I want you to go out but to be wary like a serpent, but meek like a dove. In other words, don't be nobody's fool. You know, he didn't call us to be doormats. He called us to show people through the door. So that those are the things that Christ wants us to do. That's where that Christian view comes in. That's the prism that we should look at life through. And you can't see things through that prism unless you know who it is that made the prism. Because when we go out and we just do things and we don't have a relationship with Christ, we don't know how to move about in the world. And that's the problem with the world. They do not know how to move around in any other way but their own. They do things that just seem just crazy. You know, we have people now who worship political leaders, who worship politics, who worship everything more than they do Christ. You know, I used to be on Facebook a lot, and before all of this happened, there were people who would put nice little things about God, holy things, and then all of a sudden things changed. All of a sudden everybody started getting more political. They, you know, they spent more time talking about different people, different parties, more than they did about Christ. You know, and they started living their life. It's like you meet them and you say, you never spent that much time with the Word of God. But you can tell me all these things are going on in the world, all these speculations that you have and stuff, but you're not standing on the truth. You're standing on some assumptions, you know, because God says his ways are far different than ours. And for us as Christians to really understand, we got to understand what his word's about, the things that he wants us to do, you know, because there are events in this world that will shake us. Sometimes you just can't watch all that news and digest it. Because a lot of times you'll find out something that's happening today that they're scaring you with, it's gone tomorrow. Or you hear a different side of it and you're like, well, I guess I was wrong on that one, if you're able to admit that. But we get so caught up in everything else, but we forget that, you know, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. We know who is in charge of what is going on. You know, and an interesting thing about that is that with us being divided, you know, we look at Jesus and his disciples. Matthew was a tax collector. He was a government man. His own people didn't like him because he, as a Jew, he's working for the Roman government, collecting taxes, deciding whose taxes he's going to take, who's going to charge them more, and then they get together with their friends and laugh, like, yeah, he did this to me, but if he don't pay me tomorrow, I'm going to take his land. Then on the other side, he had Simon the Zealot, somebody that wanted to overthrow the government. He was one of them that was always saying, Lord, when is your kingdom going to come? When are we going to destroy these Romans and get them out of there? And Jesus would always say, that's not why I came. He said, I didn't come to take sides. I came to take over. And the fact is that no matter which side of the system they were both on, God's in control. You know, he had two opposing sides as disciples. He had businessmen. He had average people. We look at these folks like they were holier than thou. God just made them holy. They were sinners just like us. Same things that we go through, they went through. And that's how God wants us to look at them. He wants us to look at when we talk to people. I'm not going to argue about this issue with you. I'm going to tell you what God says about it. And we do that in such a way that, you know, we don't have to be overbearing. We just put it out there and let God's work do its work. Because word says that when you share the gospel, when you share a scripture with somebody, it does not come back void. It goes into their soul. Either they dismiss it, but it hits them hard. Or either it changes their life. So those are the ways that a Christian view challenges a worldview. Because the worldview, like I say, it will always try and to destroy us as Christians. The world's view is totally opposed to the view of Christ. Because even us as Christians, we don't always want to do the will of God. Paul says that in the Word. We don't always want to do. Something Reverend Burke said today is that he was backing away from hell and ran into heaven. And I like that. Because sometimes we get to the point where that brokenness, where it's like, okay, God, I can't do nothing else, but I don't want to go that direction, so let me start heading in another direction. And at that point, that's where Christ comes in. Because he's always in the back of our mind. He is always going to be there. You know. And there's several different things I want to talk to you today about being a Christian. First thing I want to just say to you is that, you know, we always want the good stuff. We always want everything to be prosperous. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, God talks about the plans I have for you, declare the Lord. Plans not to hurt you, but to give you hope in a future. But if we read before that, in Jeremiah 29:4, it says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those who've carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. See, they were so bad, they had turned away from God after all they'd seen. So God said, okay, I'm going to put you in exile. I'm going to put you someplace where you are not going to be happy. Because, you know, with the Christian view, when we do certain things, God loves us, but sometimes he'll put us in exile in a strange land. He'll put us in the exile, strange land of sickness, the exile, the strange land of financial problems, and an exile of just putting you someplace that you didn't intend on being. Just like what they say about sin, it'll take you where you didn't want to go, make you stay longer than you want, and the price is just too high for being there. So anyway, back to what he said in Jeremiah 24, the verses before that, he says, you know, I carry you to a land from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens. Eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you to into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper too. God can have you in a bad place and still have you prosper. That's what he's saying, is that no matter where I put you, it's for a reason. And when God takes us to these spots of exile, like I say, 90% of the sins we have, maybe as high as 99, are self-inflicted. It is things that we have done. Because like you say, the Bible says, when you sow the wind, you're going to reap a whirlwind. And a lot of times what that means is that when something happens to your life and you say, I know exactly when I planted that. It may have been a week ago. It may have been 15 years ago. But it has grown into fruition. And now I have to deal with it. And when we come to God with that attitude of a Christian view, he will keep us in the midst of it. But in the world view, you get bitter. Sometimes we as Christians, we get bitter. We forget how to say, Lord, thank you for where I am. I did it, or whatever caused it. You are the one who is allowing this. You will protect me. And he says, to prosper, we have to keep in his will. There is no other way that we can make it, because without God, we are on our own. And like I say, I'm going to tell you some things about the biblical view versus the world view or the human view. First thing is, what are you focused on? The second thing is, what's your standard? What are your goals? Where is home? Problems in the world, where do they come from? What is your attitude? And, you know, how do you live? The first one is the focus. And a Christian view, our focus is on God. Because we know that in the beginning, Genesis 1:1 said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What that means is he made everything. He made all things that are here. He made us. He made this world. Everything that happens is because God said, I meant for it to. And I did it with love and kindness. I did it with my thought. I didn't have to do it as man does things with the physical. So once we can come to that realization, because see, that's that rock. We have to know who it is that did everything. Because, you know, there are people in the world who tell you, I don't know about this world being made by a God. There's scientists that talk about this thing called the Big Bang. But there had to be a big banger. Somebody had to make this stuff. It just didn't simply exist. Because when you think about it, it doesn't make sense. But people who are of a worldview, who don't know Christ, they'll come up with all kinds of ways, you know, meteors doing this, all this other stuff that doesn't make sense. Because what you're saying is that this world was already here and it just happened. We just came out of the goo from a rock hitting another rock. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make a bit of sense. And, you know, they teach that in school and different things. And, you know, I used to tell students, well, if that's what they're saying, just like Jesus said, when they asked him about the coin, he said, give Caesar what is his and give me what is mine. If that's their thought, so be it. Let that be their thought. If you're conducting business and stuff in the world, okay, that's your view. I have mine. And I'm going to keep moving with mine. Because that's what God looks at. Where is your heart? What is the view that you have of life? You know, so, and the other side is focused on me. Good old me, otherwise known as the flesh. You know, and me resorts to anger, jealousy, envy, greed, strife, as the Bible says, all those worldly things. That's what me resorts to. It does all the things that are not good, all the things that people look at you and go, you know, but those are a lot of things are the things that the world says are great. You know, oh yeah, he got angry and he told them people off. He let them know what he felt. You know, he made that extra money. Sure, he cheated some people, but he's on top. Because so many times we look at people with money like they are just so blessed. They have all this money. They don't have those kind of problems. But I've talked to a lot of people. I talked to a man once who was making like $7 million a year, and then it went down to one, and he said, I don't know how I'm going to make it. There are people out there like that, and there are rich people out there who have problems that you wouldn't even want to have. Because there was this one singer once that said, the more problems, the money you run across, the more problems you see. That is real. That is very real. They've spent so much time chasing after that dollar, families are ruined. You know, we look at people who are dedicated to their work, 24/7, that's all they do. But families ruined. There's no life. You can't do that all the time. And like I say, I have never seen a U-Haul following a hearse. You can't take that with you. Sure, you're doing things and people look at things, you know, they look at cars and stuff. If you bought a brand new car, all nice, shiny, beautiful, smell good and everything, then you keep that thing for 5 years and it ain't the same. It ain't the same. Not at all. That's what the world is like. The things that we cherish, that we looked at, they get old. They have to be replaced. And that's what God says, is that you keep your hope in me and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to keep you. You know, Galatians 5:29, it talks about the act of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I will warn you, as I have before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is everlasting. All of those things are not. But the God view says in the same chapter in Galatians, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You know, when you walk in with Christ, you don't worry about the little things that you have to worry about when you're doing wrong. When you walk with Christ, you don't have to look over your back. When you're walking with Christ, you have pretty much some peace. But you know, have you ever gotten into some situations where you're doing something wrong and you're trying to hide it? Because you're always trying to keep the lie up. You got to go out and remember it every day. You got to remember, okay, did I put this here so this person don't find it? Is this scam still good? You're always looking over your shoulder. You're always trying to figure out how to stay one step ahead. And when you're doing that, you got a horizontal view of life. But when you do things by the fruit of the Spirit, it's a vertical. You're always looking up because you know you can see better looking up than you can moving horizontally, sometimes toward a downward arc. So that's what Christ says to us. Follow me, not the world. Don't do things as the world does them. You know, and you know, people will see that difference. Because another thing James said about rich people and folks that we think are the greatest is that we have these people come to church and we try to sit them up front in the best seats. What we're saying a lot of times is, Satan, come on in and we're going to give you the best seat in the house. Because when you're not walking with God, that's who you're walking with. It's an either or. You know, that's why God said that, you know, I don't like lukewarm. You ever try straddling a fence? You can't do it for long. You know, you're always on unstable footing. And that's what God's telling you. You can't serve me and be on unstable footing. I am the God of the firm foundation. You know, you have to decide who you're going to serve, because you can't do both. The next one is the standard by which you live by. Godly view, Christian view says, we live by the standard of the Bible. The Bible is real. It's more than just a book that you pick up and, okay, I'll put it over here. You know, once you open that book, it comes alive. You may not understand everything you're reading in that book, and sometimes it's because you ain't been spending time with the Father, your friend. Because like I said, you can't get to know anybody if you're not spending time with them. You know, if you've ever courted somebody or been in love, you spend time with that person on the phone, and I know this, that, or you get a new friend, you want to know what they're about. You know, you committed any crimes lately I need to know about? You know, you want to know what you're getting involved with, you know, at all times. You know, because like I was saying earlier, that God is all. Because he says in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches, you remain in me and I will be in you. You will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can't do anything. Apart from him, there is nothing that our life is. That's why our purpose is in Christ. And that's the thing I tell everybody, find your purpose in Christ. You ask him and he'll tell you. Sometimes we may not like the purpose he gives us, but he's going to tell you what it is that he wants you to do. And the basic is to know him, to love on people. Go back to what I was saying earlier. Peace is the center of what God's about. That's what I strive for in life, peace. Because when you have peace, you have everything. That is everything. Because peace allows you to be kind to people. Peace allows you to say, you know, oh, you finished with that cart? I'll take it back for you. Peace allows you to have a greeting for people. Peace allows you in any situation to always be somebody that encourages you. And you know, the people who encourage you, you love being around them. Because they don't judge you. They're not critical. If you're doing something you're not supposed to, they'll tell you in such a way as there's a better way. Rather than talking to you in a mean way that only makes you want to entrench yourself in what you're doing. Because peace invites you to come and see what's on the other side. You know, and the next thing is the culture. The worldview says we are into our institutions. We are into looking good. We are into doing all the things that we want to do. And without that foundation in the Bible, that's what you do. Everything that you want to do. You know, Proverbs says that there's a way that appears to be right to a man, but that leads to death. That's what that me is. The flesh is always trying to direct you. The flesh is always trying to tell you what it is that you need to do. And, you know, it's even a matter of when somebody comes to preach to you, like the Bereans, God said, know the word. Know what they're telling you. Because it's sad. Have you ever seen a preacher come up and deliver a message and then all of a sudden telling you about his grievances? What happened to him? This didn't go right. I'm mad about something, and the government did this. Yada, 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 yada. It's like, that is not of God. And it's sad because you're saying, God left the pulpit, and Satan said, I'm going to have something to say here. You know, so we have to be careful about the way we talk. And that's not only for preachers, that's for everybody. Because if you're telling everybody how big of a Christian you are, but then you are being negligent, talking bad to people, you know, they're like, well, okay, well, I don't want none of that. You know, sure, we all make mistakes. We all get heated, but it's a matter of which side, once again, that fence you're straddling. Because when you're sharing the gospel and then you go way off to the other side, they're saying, I don't know. I know people kind of slip around a minute and do some things, but when you are there all the time and they know more about the negative things you're doing than about the positive things you're doing, you are not doing God any service. You know? And to show you how the word will keep you and how strong it is, you know, it says in Hebrews 4, 12 through 13, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes of him whom we must give account. God's going to judge us on what we do. He's going to judge us on the things that we say, the way we conduct ourselves. He sees all. You know, it's like I said, we can do our little sins and think we hide them. Sometimes I say, we respect man more than we do God, because we hide our sins from man. And God's like, oh, that's how you do that, huh? Oh, we're into that again today. So he sees all. He knows all. And when we try to fool ourselves, it's been linked to what causes mental illness. Because when you're trying to hide something all of a sudden, you're not living in a reality. Anytime you have to convince yourself that wrong is right, you got a problem deep within. And so many times we see people that do that. You try to share the truth or something, they're so deeply entrenched into what they're doing that they can't even hear you. They can't even understand what is going on. And so that's why I say all we can do for folks like that sometimes is pray. Because we cannot fight that battle in the physical. That is what they call a spiritual battle. That's when you see certain things going on, and that's what God gives us the sense to know that what we can do and what we can't. In other words, if I can't use you to do this, I want you to pray. That's what you could always do, you know. Because sometimes, you know, we'll do something and prayer is the last thing. Things be falling apart. We're trying to do all this stuff, and then it's like, we need to pray. And sometimes people go, has it come to that? And instead of it being the last resort, it should be the first resort, you know. And brothers and sisters, one thing I encourage all of you to do starting today, when you talk to people, get your spiritual life together to the point where you can say, can I pray for you? As Christians, that should be at the tip of our tongue all the time. Prayer should be as easy as me talking to you up here. And it is. Because when we pray for people, it's a strategy that God has given us. It's a matter of assessing what's going on in their life, thinking about all the things that they'll need to bring it together. Prayer is not some magical thing where you got to get up and have all the right words. It's a simple conversation with God. And sometimes we make it so hard because we're like, oh, I heard pastor say this prayer that brought the house down. Well, he didn't call you to bring the house down. He called you to have a conversation to let people know his power and how to move in his power. That's what God has called us to do. Yeah. And like I say, the culture looks at things in a whole different way. They don't even really care about the Bible. They care less. They care less about the power that lies in there. And that's, like I say, that's why we have to be aware. Because it's so easy to have conversations with folks, and sometimes we're so intimidated, we just kind of go along with it, knowing it's wrong, but we just kind of go along. And God is saying, no, that's not what I intended my people to do. My people are intended to be strong. Right. You intended to be strong in me. When you are weak, that's when God is the strongest. When you feel like a situation is just out of hand, or somebody's talking stuff, and he tells you, Lord, and you say to him, Lord, what should I do for this situation? That is when we are our strongest. And sometimes we don't have to say anything. And then later on, we'll find out that that point of view or whatever they had was changed. And that was done by God. God did all of those things. So that's why I say his view is the right view of the world. Also, the next thing is that we have to decide, you know, who we're going to be in Christ, where we're going to go in Christ, how we're going to serve him. You know, because there's a difference between living by your faith and living by your feelings. Sometimes we'll live by our faith. We were walking with God. We know who he is. We know that he is going to solve that problem. But many times, you know, we move in faith. And the biggest thing about faith is you cannot see all the time what God wants you to do. That's where that trust comes in. That's where that I'm trying to hold on to everything that is God, because God will direct you. He will keep you. He will tell you exactly what it is that he wants you to do when you are living by his faith. You know, Hebrews 11:1, it says that now faith is a confidence in what we hope for, assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that it seems what was made out of what was visible. Hebrews then goes on to say, and without faith, it is impossible to serve God. God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he will reward those who earnestly seek him. And what he's saying there is that you have to believe in him. You've got to trust him. And you know, there's people in our lives that we say we can trust, that no matter what, we can call them and count on them to do anything. And even if they're 99% of the time, there may be that one time that they're not. But God's there always. And you may not see it. You may not say, Lord, where are you? And he said, I'm standing right here. But I'm using you in this time of needing faith and trust. I'm using you to be stronger. I'm making you stronger to where you're not saying, where are you? But God, when are you going to change this? It'd be like David with a Goliath. You are not going to insult my God. He is right here. He is going to use me. That is the attitude we should have. Sure, if doubt comes into our hearts, but we should always know that God is here. He's going to keep us. He's going to take care of us. You know, and the fact of where it says here, so what is seen may not be made out of what is visible. What he's saying is that I move in a spirit world. You cannot see what I am doing if you don't know me. Because part of knowing him is that, okay, I saw what he did when he parted the Red Sea. I saw what he did when he sent his son. I saw what he did when people conquered things with nothing. I've seen him do what he is famous for. I've seen it with my eyes because I know what I'm looking for. If you don't know what you're looking for, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where it is going to come from. So that's why I say you have to know God to know what you're looking for, to know what he'll do. Because if you don't, you're lost. Once again, you are nothing without him. And it goes back to that relationship. Because see, the world, we live by faith. The world lives by their feelings. I feel this. I feel happy today. I feel bad today. I feel like I'm going to get some money. I feel. And sometimes, you know, those premonitions, those feelings, they come from God. But we can't live on them. Because what we're saying is, I'm going to move in my feelings. I'm going to move in my heart. And without God in your heart, he says the heart is wicked. It is deceitful. So that's why I say God has to live in our hearts, because if we feel something is from God, it's always based on scripture. God doesn't do anything that isn't based on scripture. Where when you know your scripture, you'll know if what you're thinking, if your feeling has validity. If you're not, you're just blowing in the wind. You're just watching it happen. You know, the other thing that God has with the worldview and the Christian view is we live through humility. It's so hard to be humble, especially when you got a few things going on, things in life that you think are good. Being humble, having humility can be hard. That is one of those things that we have to practice every day. At least I know I do, because sometimes when things go right for me, oh, I will talk about it. And I'll have to go back later and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I took that a little too far. I made that about me, and I didn't say nothing about you. You know, that's why when you read in the Old Testament how people would always say, first, let me tell you, God did this. When Joseph was able to predict what was going to happen and tell the king, the first thing he did was gave honor to my Lord God. That was the first thing he did. And that's the first thing we do in humbleness. Because there are so many things that people say, how did you work that out? How did that happen? The first thing is, well, let me tell you, I did this, I did that. And then it's like, no, God worked that out. Only thing you saw was what happened, and their world sees that. And that's why I say we have to let the world know God did it. God is the one that did it. In Ephesians 4:2-3, he says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's that word again. Peace, the bond of peace. And what that is when we come here, we bond in peace. This is where you go to practice your faith. Like I said, this is where you go to say, this is what God did for me this week. Oh, let me tell you how I was a blessing to somebody. Let me tell you how God blessed me. That's why we come here. But sometimes we come here and God says, check the attitude outside. Because when I walk into the room, everything changes. And when you don't change for these few hours, you're denying the power of God.
Because, you know, if you can't come here and practice your faith, be peaceful, with a smile, be a blessing to somebody, God forgive you when you go out there in the world. Because you are going to do what the world likes to do, mix it up. You're going to do the things the world likes to do. Let's go find something good to do that is not about God. So that's why I say, you have to come here and practice. This is like anything in life. You take a job. You got to learn what you're supposed to do on the job. If you love to play a sport, if you want to knit anything, you have to practice to get good at it. And that's what God said. You have to love me to learn how to love. You have to watch me. You know, you have to do the things that you see me do. Just like a child, you know, it just amazed me how when I used to tell my children no, and then when they learned how to say no, no. And it's like, ooh, is that what I look like? When I say that to them. So we have to learn how to walk with Christ to be able to be at peace, to be able to explain peace to people, to how they are to live, you know. And another problem the world has is with sin. You know, as being a Christian, we know what sin is. But the world, they believe in their systems. As Christians, we know what sin is. You know, we can sit here all day. I can name off all the different sins and stuff, but we all know what sin is. We all know what our sins are. If I start rattling them off, somebody's going to say, you forgot one. So we know, and we know what sins are in us. You know, it's amazing how God doesn't come up with new sins. Well, back up. Satan doesn't come up with new sins. He knows who we are. You know, he knows who you are better than we do. You know, it's just like people say to me, I'm getting off the grid. I'm getting rid of my phone. I don't want the government or nobody to know where I am. You know, and if you do checks on people, they'll find out where you are. You know, bill collectors, they'll call you, your mama, your friends, everybody. And you go, how did they get their number? That's the way sin is. That's the way he comes to us with the same sins all the time. Nothing new. Like the Bible says, dog goes back to his vomit. When we don't get with Christ and help us overcome sin, it's the same thing. You know, you look at it, it's like, I'm still doing this. I'm still struggling with this problem, you know, and it's because you're not saying, God, help me. Sure, you know, it may take a while, because sometimes, you know, he takes sins away from people immediately, and sometimes he lets us walk in it towards him to build that strength, to help us to grow. And that's just the way it is, but we never give up. Now, the world says it's our systems. And the systems they talk about is the government, the way things go, the way they have their jobs set up, the way this thing is done, the way that thing is done. So when there's a problem in their life, they have sin, it's got to be somebody else's fault. If the government didn't do this, if the job didn't have this rule saying I got to come to work every day, then I could do what I want to. It's somebody else's problem. It's causing me to be the way that I am. Yeah, and so, you know, it's just that they just keep telling themselves that it's other people. And that's what the system will do. It allows you to blame somebody else other than yourself. It allows you to say, she did it, he did it. You know, and you know, in Romans 6:23, he talks about, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's what we have to remember, that sin is something that came into the world back when Adam and Eve. You know, another thing I always laugh at is how people, especially men, will say, well, you know, if it hadn't been for what Eve did, we wouldn't have all this sin. Do you know Eve's husband was standing right next to him? Letting the devil speak into her ear? He stood there. So how are you going to blame him if sin came, if you don't stop the person from that sin? Who can we say women didn't cause that? The biggest sin was God gave her to you to protect her. And you let Satan have free reign. And we let Satan have free reign in so many aspects of our life. You know, we don't identify things. We don't check things in our loved ones, folks that we know, that we know, that they know, that we all know Christ. But we still allow these things to come into our life. We still allow sometimes those systems to come into our life to overrule. Because, you know, as Christians sometimes, we'll try to blame things. We have the same disease everybody else is. I didn't do it. Because once again, when people have sins, they try to cover them up. They try to hide them. And knowing that God sees them, like I said earlier. But it's just a matter of they are going to keep on doing what it is they do. And another thing that we have is, what is our goals? Our goal is to be holy. Our goal is to be consecrated. Our goal is to be set apart. Our goal is to be sanctified in Christ. God has set us apart and sanctified us in holiness so that we can live in him. He's done all these things so that we can be his, so that we don't have to get caught up in this world system. Because, you know, when you go out to places where you ain't supposed to be, whether when you're young, you party. Well, I see a lot of old people out there partying now. I remember when I was younger and I went to one of those clubs, I saw a man that was probably the age I am now, maybe a little older, with a cane. And you know, you're like, but when you're a child of God and you haven't done that and you go someplace like that, or you go to someplace so they say, oh, it's going to be a nice little social event, come on, and people start partying like that and stuff, you look out of place. You look very much out of place, and people are like, where did this bump in the log come from? So, and that's what sanctified means. When we're in places where God doesn't mean for us to be, we stick out like a sore thumb. You know, even if we try, we off beat. So we have to always work at being holy, you know, because once again, that peace that passes understanding keeps us. The world wants to be happy. And, you know, happiness doesn't last because happiness depends on what is happening. It depends on what is going on. Things are going well, I'm happy. But as soon as things start going bad, I am upset. I am mad. I am pissed off, as the world would say. I am upset. Why are things going this way? And it's because you live in a life on happiness. Day-to-day things. Happiness doesn't last, but the joy of Christ does. The joy of Christ will keep you in a dark situation. The joy of Christ says, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen here, but I know you got me. The joy of God gives you that peace that passes understanding. You know, you ever been in the midst of something and have a peace about it? And everybody else looking there, all this is going on and you got a peace right now? You know, and the world sees that. And like I said, that's one of the things you have to work on. You have to understand what joy is. Joy is consistent. Happiness is not. Joy is always something that you have in your heart. That is a gift God has given us to be able to have joy. You know, because like I say, some of us need to work on that because some of us look like we weren't baptized in the love of God. It looked like we were baptized in lemon juice. We weren't around looking frowning, upset. You know, a Christian should never say when somebody asks you how you doing, Christians should never say, I'm hanging in there. No, you are being held. You hang on to nothing. God is holding you, you know, because you can't hang on. We just use that. That's one of them things of the world. The world hangs on, waiting for a better day. And God says, better days have gone. All you're going to see from here is destruction, sadness, difficulties. But you got joy. Because in the midst of that, you're going to find your joy. You're going to find the happiness when it's attached to joy. Because you can see God in all situations. You can see his hand moving when you got joy. Because what you're saying is, I am focused on you. Next thing is, where's home? Where's home? God says, home is heaven. The world says, home is right here. Right here. That's where home is. Right where we are right now. That's what the world says. Yeah. But knowing that we're in heaven, we know where our hope is. We know that there is a better life. We know that once we get to heaven, things will be better for us. But right now, we got a purpose. Because it's strange. I always say, I know heaven's so much better, but why do I struggle to stay here? Because God has a purpose for you. You know, because I hear some of you say, I'm ready to go home. But you don't go home until God says it's time to go home. You are on a mission. You are a soldier. Soldiers don't leave a battlefield just because he's tired of fighting. The soldier leaves the battlefield when he has done what God wants him to do. You know, in the book of Acts, God was talking about David. Jesus was saying how God used David for his purpose in his generation. Then he died and was buried with his ancestors. That's where we are. God uses us for this generation for a purpose, and then we go on when he's ready for us to go on. Not simply because, you know, I'm tired, I don't want to do this, you know. And 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know that if the earthly tent that we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. And you know, all of us come from heaven. Believe it or not, sinners, saints, all of us come from heaven. We all come from there. Because, you know, in Jeremiah 1:5, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. But just like I said before, it's like going, having a beautiful place to live, and you go on vacation, and you say, no, I don't want to go home. I want to go back to the most arid, horrible place there is to be. Send me to the hottest place in the desert. And that don't make no sense. And that's what you're saying. God said, I sent you here. But then some of us don't know where we came from. You know? It's like I said, you know, you ever seen people or children that don't know where they came from? How bad they run around and act? That's how a lot of us act. That's how the world acts. They do not know where they come from. Yeah, that heaven place, I don't know. You know, I even hear people say, well, I'll go to hell. There's a good party there. You know, I've heard people say stuff like that. Hey, you know, I'll go to whichever one is open. Whatever it takes, however it is, I'll get there. I'll go to whichever one is open. You know, and the world says that the world is our home. They believe that being here, you know, when life ends, it's over. Or, you know, I have sad when I hear people say, but I've been a good person. I know God's going to let me in. I know he's going to take care of me. I know because I've been so sweet to people. I've been good. And like it says, without him, we can do nothing. We can't get to heaven without him. We can't get to heaven without saying Jesus is the Son of God. He died for our sins on the cross. He rose, which allowed me to follow him up out of that grave. So we have to understand that. We have to know these things. We have to be able to share these things with people. Because the harvest great, laborers are few. We have to tell people, no, no, heaven is your home. The way you're behaving right now is not going to get you home. We have to help people understand what home is. We have to reassure each other about what home is. Because to perish in this world, it sounds like a nothing thing, but it is serious. Hell is no joke. It's all the unpeaceful things. It's all the bad times that you have seen in life. You know, hell is no thing to be played with. You know, it is a sad, sad situation when you go to hell. You know, it's like we joke with people about it. We say these things, but sometimes it's not good because it'll mess with our minds as Christians when we are a part of those types of things, you know. And another thing that we do sometimes that's not of good nature is that we judge sinners. And God didn't cause us to judge sinners. See, God loves the sinner but hates the sin. But us, we hate it all. We hate you, we hate your sin, we hate the horse you rode in on. We hate it all. Sometimes people say, oh, they are too bad for me to even talk to them about God. All it takes is a little kindness. Like I said, God has always given us that ability to walk away once we've done what he told us to do. He's always done that. Even with our own, sometimes, like I say, we don't treat them right in support. Because if somebody falls in sin, good Lord, we're going to let them know it. We're going to hold them accountable for it. Because, you know, a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up. So we don't want them to get up. We're going to remind you of that. We're going to look at you. You come to church, we're going to give you that side eye. We're going to do all that things instead of, let me help restore you back to where Christ wants you to be. Because when we do all that, what we're basically saying is, we don't think you're good enough to go to heaven. We don't think you are deserving of all the chances that God gave us. You know, when God's disciples say, how many times are we supposed to forgive somebody? It was like 79 times 79. Disciples said, give us strength. Because, you know, we want forgiveness, but giving that thing, oh, sometimes it's hard to forgive. It's hard to forgive. Oh, they hurt me so bad. Oh, Lord, you know, set them on that fire now. Instead of just saying, Lord, I'm trying to get over what they've done, but bless them. Sure, I don't have to be their friends. We don't have to break bread, but I don't want to do harm. I'll let you handle this. Because God can deal with people a whole lot better than we can. He can deal with them. Because I've prayed for things and God has dealt with some people. And you know what the cold thing that God says is once I deal with them and you're like, thank you, Jesus, you lose your blessing. You lose your blessing. Because, you know, they're going to say, I've been tempted so many times when God has done something to people who've done me. And I have to take a step back and say, okay, Lord, you've dealt with them. I hope they find their way to heaven. I hope they find their way to you. And that's where we sometimes lose that struggle. That's where we sometimes get ourselves caught up in life by trying not to be forgiving. And that's what I said. The worldview says, take care of yourself. Do all the things that make you happy. It says, me, me, me. And God is like, this is temporary. Don't get it confused. None of it's going to be around any longer. So with that being said, I always want us to find the best things in Christ. Find his love. Find his spirit. Search out the good things that life has for us through him. Enjoy what he has put here. Like you said, prosper in this land. Because this is not home. No matter if you have the most ideal situation, you think things are going well, this is not your home. You know, another thing, when we have difficulties come to us and things, don't always say, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Say, God, bind Satan. Because God will allow things, but Satan causes them. So we try to blame God. If he had it, did this. And the world is real good at that. Well, if your God is so powerful and all of that, why did he do this and that? And we just say, because he's in control. Because he is the one. You know, when Jesus said, preached talking about how to drink his blood, to eat his body, you know, a lot of disciples walked away. But the main ones, he turned to them and said, so you're going to leave too? And they said, where will we go? And that's the same thing for us. Where would we go if we did not have Jesus? Where in life is important? Where would the meaning be? You're just walking through a spot. But when you have Christ, that purpose, and that's the blessing, like I said, when you find out who you are, when you know that you're loved, you know that he cares for you, you see it in his word, that's when you start moving. That's when change comes in your life, when you can step out there and do those things. It's like going to the gym and getting fit. You know, when you get fit and you're feeling good, you lose some weight, you walk with a little swagger, a little more confidence, you know, and that's the way Christ does. Because if you don't know him, sure, you're walking in it, but you're walking in arrogance. You know, that humility, the arrogance that the world does not has that we do not have. Because arrogance looks bad. You know, like I was saying earlier, oh, I'm this, I'm that, all those things, and never mention anything about God. You're crippled. Those people may seem like they're strong, but they're crippled. So at this time, I just want to remind you, he rose for us. He came out the grave so that we could live. Because for that, we were not living. We were struggling. And those are the things that Christ wants for you. So I encourage all of you to set your minds on Christ, move forward in him, learn how to love people as you love yourself. Another hard task, but learn how to do these things. So with that, I just ask all of you to have a blessed week. Take care of yourselves and remember whose you are. Remember whose view you are going to see the world through. You know, like the Bible says, choose this day who you're going to serve. You're going to serve God or man. Amen.